Good morning. Would you please turn with me in your hymn books to the number 639. This morning's reading is a responsive reading. I'll be reading the portion in the light type, and you'll respond by reading the part that's bolded. Again, the number is 639, the Savior's Advent. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for this beautiful story that we're reminded about at this time of year, that you came, that you sent your only Son to be born of a virgin, Mary. And we just thank you that you sent your Son, and for the purpose of dying on the cross to pay the price for our sins. We just pray that this morning, as Pastor Joseph shares with us, that we'll be reminded again about the wonderful gift that you've given to us, the gift of your Son, and the gift that we can have if we receive you as our personal Lord and Savior of eternal life. We just thank you and praise you again for this wonderful time of year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Sometimes God seems to be moving at high speed. And high speed means real high speed. And other times it seems that He is so slow in His program. And sometimes it seems that He is not moving at all, as far as we are concerned. For example, creation, and I'm quoting from Genesis 1, God created the heaven and the earth. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So God created man in His own image. That's fast. I believe that is high speed. But then God seemed to take His time when Israel was in captivity. For 400 years, we find that story in 2 Kings 25. As far as Israel was concerned, God was too slow. He was taking His time to save them. And you can imagine those poor people who were suffering for 1, 2, 3, 10, 50, 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, they probably had given up on God and said, "Where is God?" And then God remained silent altogether for 400 years between the Old Testament and the New. Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, is dated approximately 433 years before Christ. To many people, The words of the prophets must have seemed empty promises for Messiah. Through the prophet Isaiah, God had said, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will reign with justice and righteousness forever." Isaiah 9, 2-7. So for these people, these promises seem to be empty. 700 years had passed, and there was no sign of a king. And then suddenly things started to happen like a whirlwind. Angels are sent to for a special mission. And here, after so many years, no prophecies are recorded, nothing is heard, and they haven't heard anything from God, and all of a sudden things are happening. Angels appear. First, the angels appear to a priest named Zechariah. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John." As a matter of fact, when I read this story, once again, I go back to what I just said, that sometimes God works. You have to wait for God to respond to your prayer request, or God, it seems that God is working very slowly. I believe in Zechariah's case, it seems that God had forgotten them, no children, nothing, and they were praying, and all of a sudden, a miracle takes place. Then the angel went to a young virgin named Mary and said, "Greetings. You who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words, but the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with a child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. The Lord God will give him the throne, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." We find these words in Luke chapter 1, verses 28 to 33. Then the angel went to Joseph. In Matthew 1, 20, we read, "The angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin.'" Again, this is the third time we hear the angels say to different people, "Do not be afraid." Once again, the angel of the Lord appeared to some shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flock at night, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. They were waiting for a Messiah. But when he came, suddenly those who had waited for him were filled with fear. Yes, they were waiting for a Savior, for the Messiah, but he had to come according to their own plans, or to suit their own needs and desires. And this is true even today. We want to have the Lord. We want to have God. We want to have His peace. We want to have His joy. We want to be able to call ourselves Christians, but not on His terms. We want to do it on our own terms. And that is why they were surprised. They thought the Messiah would come riding a horse, a white horse, victorious and with great promises and a government that will rule and bring peace to their nation and bring equality among people and who would better their life, their living standards, and they will finally have what they have been searching for and wanting God to do for them, that was to have a good life. And yet, when the angels came to them, they all were surprised. They had their own way of waiting for the Messiah. Of course, the fear of the unexpected can be paralyzing. Well, let's look at those the angel visited. There was this elderly priest who was on duty serving before God. He was to go into the temple and keep the incense burning on the altar in front of the most holy place. So you can imagine when all of a sudden an angel appears to him standing at the right side of the altar. I don't know whether he had ever seen an angel or not. I don't know whether he had ever experienced the presence of a celestial being or God Himself when he was in that temple before. But this time, he was scared to death. Zechariah was gripped with fear and probably thought, "Am I the wrong person to be here? Am I doing something wrong? Has the angel come to punish me?" But the angel had come not because Zechariah was doing something wrong, but because he was doing something right. He was praying a lot, and his prayers had been heard. And the angel had come not because he was the wrong person, but because he was the right person to receive a son through a miracle in his old age. Very often we think of our future, or young people think of their future. Someone will say, "Well, I'm already 20, and I haven't found a boyfriend or a girlfriend yet. I am 25. I'm 35. I'm 40." And what's happening to me? I'm wasting away. And all kinds of things may come into your mind. And we also, as mature Christians, or at least older Christians, may say, "Well, God has not used me a lot. And here I'm doing everything I can for God. And still, nothing is happening." And yet we are forgetting that God's timetable and the way God works is not the same as we want Him to work. Sometimes I turn to my wife and I say, "Look, I'm actually very old. Well, not very old, older, and I wish I was much younger." And my wife says, "Yeah, I wish I was much younger too. I could and do all these things." And yet we know that God knows better, and God has His schedule and His program perfect. His program is perfect. And yet, you see this old man, doing his best in the temple, and he's offering the sacrifices, and he's praying, and he's torn apart on the inside for the condition of his nation. And all of a sudden, he sees a bright, shining person, an angel, and he is scared to death. He says, "Okay, he has come to punish me." And then there was this young virgin who was engaged to be married to a man called Joseph. Mary's life was a very interesting life, you may say, or maybe not. She was a teenager, a young The Bible always refers to these young girls as virgins because that's how it was in those days. I don't know how many of us today will refer to a young lady as a virgin, and yet that's what it was, and that's how God named her, or at least chose her. Mary's life up to that point was very normal. Growing up, dreaming romantic dreams like all girls, kept herself pure and lived in a life that was pleasing to God. And now she was engaged and anticipating marriage. But then something comes to shake her peaceful life. It is easy to panic when the unexpected comes. The best made plans may go wrong. We fear unexpected interruptions in our life. Every phone call may be a threat. Every letter, every knock at the door may bring fear. But the angel had only good news for Mary that day. She had been chosen by God to be part of the greatest miracle. Once again, fear. What is fear? Fear is something that you don't know how it's going to end. Or you face death. Or you face sickness. Or all kinds of situations. And here you have a young, beautiful girl, a teenager engaged to a man, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit or God comes to her and says, "Don't worry, don't be afraid, but you are pregnant." That would be devastating for a girl. That would be devastating for Joseph. Now you can imagine Joseph. He would say, "When? How? Where? She has been always with me. We've been traveling together. She loved me so much." And yet, Joseph himself had to be convinced by the Holy Spirit. "Joseph, relax. Don't be afraid." And what about Joseph? This righteous man who was engaged to this godly girl, who was all he had dreamed about or hoped for, soon the dreams would become reality. Then suddenly comes the awful blow. Mary is with a child. The fear of personal loss is overwhelming. I'm sure he was afraid. His dreams are shattered. His castles are tumbling. He thought he would lose Mary. These fears were real, not imaginary. Joseph was not afraid of the angel, but rather of this personal loss. Again, I may not understand exactly how Joseph felt, but I do understand the feelings of a man, young man, who is in love with a young lady, who are engaged to get married, and everything in life pales or is not as important as this young lady that is being prepared by God in his heart, at least, to be married to. All of a sudden he finds out she is with a child. And all those castles, all those dreams, everything is now shaking in front of him, ready to collapse. What about us? Personal loss may bring anxiety and fears, loss of children or other family members, loss of money, loss of home, loss of position. Once again, we are tested. You lose your job and you have to pay the rent. You are married and all of a sudden something terrible happens and the family is falling apart. All of a sudden the children leave home or rebel against the family. All these are fears that are real and people have to deal with. Joseph and Mary had to deal with those unexpected events in their life. Fear holds back blessings. You may be afraid to risk love. You have been hurt in the past, and now you don't trust people. And I've heard this so many times from young people who have been disappointed by their relationship, from their relationship with someone else. Well, I'm never going to date a man in my life. Well, all women are the same, or all men are the same. And we develop this self defending mechanism, or and that is until next time when you meet someone else that shines brighter than the other star that just is gone, and you fall in love with this other person, and then something terrible may happen or something good may come out of it, and yet you have to wrestle with those thoughts. And fear is something that it's very difficult to deal with. And you may say, why are you talking about fear now? We're talking about Mary and Joseph and Jesus was being who was born on Christmas Day. Actually, Jesus was not born on Christmas Day because there was no Christmas Day. And Christmas is something that we've come up with. Jesus was born, period, to Mary and Joseph. Well, actually, to Mary. And Joseph was privileged to be the earthly stepfather, if you wish, or dad to Jesus for a while. But all those fears disappeared when Elizabeth received John, and when Mary and Joseph received Jesus, and when the shepherds received the Messiah in their heart. And that's how it is. I think fears may overwhelm us. Fears may paralyze us. And then things happen. God's blessings come out of them. You may even be afraid to leave. And Quebec is, I believe, the highest rate of suicides are in Quebec. I mean, look at the man who goes to the United States and kills one of his children, and the other one is mortally, well, it's wounded. We don't know whether is going to make it or not. Why? Because of anger, of fears, of revenge. Look at the man who goes and gambles all he has, and at the end, he has nothing left to go to, and his family has disappeared, his house has disappeared, comes out of the casino and shoots himself. So fear may be overwhelming, and people don't even want to leave anymore. Mind you, fear can be good if it prevents you from repeating a mistake or disobeying God and loved ones. And I believe this will apply to even young people who are about to go into new business or new ventures, or find a partner and want to marry a believer and wants to marry an unbeliever, or a relationship that is not right, and the parents, the loved ones, maybe the church, maybe friends will counsel this person and say, the Bible says you can't do it because it won't work. It is very difficult under normal circumstances and conditions. You can imagine when you have a donkey and a horse together to plow, it won't work. That's why the Bible says do not be unequally yoked. And here we see that Joseph and Mary were not unequally yoked. They were really made for each other, but God had his own plans. So we have to be really prepared to receive advice and counsel from loved ones. The angel, and I'm quoting again, the angel appeared to him and said, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. Because Joseph was a righteous man, and obeyed God. Not only he did not lose Mary, but he gained much more than he had ever imagined. Finally, let's look at the fearful shepherds. When the angels appeared to them, they were afraid. Maybe it was the fear of meeting God that terrified them. Or maybe it was the glory of the Lord that blinded them. Many have experienced that fear and awe. I don't know about you, but I've heard testimonies of people who say that when I came on my knees and I prayed and I begged God to come into my life and change it, when I opened my eyes, I really found myself to be in the presence of God. And then that powerful appearance of God, or God appears in many different ways, obviously. But here we see how the shepherds were afraid in the beginning, and then they accepted the message. Or maybe just like Abraham, Job, Isaiah, Peter, they may have faced their sins and inadequacies. The thought of meeting God unprepared is a scary thought. You may fear meeting God too. I don't know about you, but often I hear people say to me, it's easy for you to say, become a Christian or follow God or become a spiritual person. And again, let me just in bracket say that when we preach from this pulpit or when we teach in the classrooms, when we print tracts and give them out, when we go on the radio and present a message or on the website, our aim is not to make Protestants out of people. Our aim is not to make religious people out of people. Our aim is not to emphasize one doctrine over another, or at least elevate one doctrine over another doctrine. Our aim is only to present God to the human heart, which is aching and searching to find God. You may fear meeting God, but when you meet Him, your life will change completely. But there is good news. God loves you and sent His Son to be your Savior. His message to you this morning is, don't be afraid. Jesus says to you, to me, I have come to take away your fears and give you lasting peace. If you have made peace with God, and if Jesus is in your life, and He is your Lord, then you have nothing to fear. But if you have not, now is the time to make Him your Lord and Savior, as did the shepherds do. They accepted Him. They worshipped Him. That's the only reason why they went there. They were searching for the Messiah, and when they found Him, they worshipped Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You once again for loving us so much that You send Your one and only Son, Jesus. You, Lord, loving us so much, and yet we look in our own lives and commitment, and we realize that we are so ungrateful very often. Please, Lord, touch each heart. Touch each one of us this morning and help us to see the need, to see the absence of the peace and the joy we've been searching for in our daily lives. And if we find that peace, that joy, that assurance of salvation is missing in our lives, help us to reach out to You and go through the narrow door to find salvation and joy and peace and eternal life. And Lord, be with us today and be with us for the rest of our journey on this earth, and strengthen us. And may the Holy Spirit help us shine and reflect You in our daily lives. In Your blessed name I pray, amen.